Hello, welcome to Love Alexi. My name is Alexi Wasser. I'm your host. This is my podcast, and I'm so excited today because one of my best girlfriends in the entire world, who I've known for an eternity, and yet we're both 29 years old for life, is on the show today. Her name is Brooke Doolian. She is the creator of Rookski Candles, and she stopped by the podcast this week to talk about a million different things. We talk all about the art of creating scents. We talk about her incredible candle line. And by the way, one of her candles is named after me. It's called Celine, but I'm in love with all of her fragrances, all of her candle scents. I'm not just saying that. I'm serious. That's why she's a guest on the show, because I'm fascinated by her, and she's such an incredible businesswoman. Anyway, so we talk about creating scents, making candles, designing packaging, signature scents, and just like the whole story of how her current company came to be, because as I said, she's a businesswoman. She's had businesses in the past. She's a wardrobe designer, a stylist. She's a jewelry designer. She had a cult company that was very, very popular called White Trash Charms. It still exists, but I'm focusing on Rookski right now because that is the future. She has this incredible company. I can't say incredible anymore because otherwise it will lose its meaning. So I'm going to step away from using that word over and over and over again to describe my fabulous friend. Yeah, I said fabulous now. Anyway, so we talk about her entire story, and we just deep dive into fragrances and a bunch of other things, like my encounter with Super Douche, notorious musician Ryan Adams, who's been in the news. I had my own experience with him, and it wasn't good, and I talk about it during my conversation with Brooke. And then we hop right on over to pop culture topics, because why not? That's what girlfriends like to do. That's what Brooke and I like to talk about. We talk about The Bachelor. We talk about Tristan cheating on Khloe Kardashian. We talk about Vanderpump Rules and so much more. For everything and anything Brooke Doolian and Rookski related, I urge you to run, don't walk, to find her and her company on Instagram at Rookski LA. That is RUKSKE_LA. And visit her website, rookski.com. You can shop all of her candles. I have all of them. I don't just have the one named after me. I have a whole slew of them. Anyway, so get in line, baby. Let's all get obsessed with Rookski LA. Was that too much? I hope that wasn't too much. It was genuine. So I hope you can just feel my enthusiasm for my girlfriend. Also, I'm drinking a lot of tea. I'm very, very caffeinated. I usually drink lots of coffee, but I'm trying to not drink so much coffee, because I'm taking these like flower remedy herbal tinctures that I got from one of my girlfriends who's also going to be on the Love Alexi podcast. Her name is Alexis Smart. She's the flower remedy girl. So I'm taking her flower remedies. And one of the things you have to do while you're taking her flower tinctures of 4 drops under your tongue, like 4 times a day, is you can't have mint and you can't drink coffee, which is like, oh my God, all I do is pop Listerine mint strips and like drink, you know, venti, Starbucks, Pike roast place, whatever, all day long. So I guess my lifestyle has to change for a bit, and I'm kind of liking it. I'm drinking this chai masala chai tea, and I'm ordering chai lattes when I go out with non-fat milk, because I don't like almond milk and I don't like soy milk. And that's how it is, okay? So I'm just excited that I'm still hyper-caffeinated just from the caffeine from tea. I might be more caffeinated, although I do think caffeine is acidic, more acidic than coffee. So it's a little bit hard to drink that first thing in the morning on an empty stomach, but then I put half and half in it. I'm putting a little sugar in it. You don't need to know these details, but I wouldn't be me if I didn't share them with you. Anyway, you got all that information. I hope you enjoy the show. I do want to tell you all the pertinent podcast information that I really mean, and I hope this information lands in your brain. It's important to me that I convince you that I need all these things to happen, all right? If you like this podcast, if you like the Love Alexi podcast, well, that makes me very happy. And since you do, if you do, I mean, you're here. Wait, don't go. Anyway, if you like the show, subscribe on iTunes, rate the show, leave a comment, tell all your friends about the show, get the word out. I don't know, forward one of my Insta stories. Just, you know, we should definitely be friends on social media as well, if we're not already. You can find me on Instagram. The only, I don't know, it's It's the only social media I'm truly addicted to nowadays. You know, it's like a dark drug. It's an evil, dark drug for me. And I'm addicted. So find me there before I kick that habit. Find me on Instagram at Alexi Wasser. If you want to send emails to the show, please do send those emails to dearlovealexi@gmail.com. You can also send all of your advertising inquiries to dearlovealexi@gmail.com. And the Love Alexi podcast is a listener-supported show. We're an independent podcast over here. So, if you either want to advertise on the show or you just want to make a donation, feel free to do so. I would love that. And you can do so via Venmo at Alexi Wasser. And all that aside, I'm going to shut the fuck up so you can enjoy my fun-filled romp of a conversation with my friend and incredible, oh God, I said it again, businesswoman, powerhouse, best friend, founder of Rookski Candles, Brooke Doolian. We are podcasting. Oh my God. Okay, get cozy.
Uh-oh. I'm cozy.
All right.
Wait, I don't get headphones?
Nobody gets headphones, just me. I don't know where else to put it. There's only one.
It's okay, it's cool.
There's only one outlet for headphones. So I know everybody's like, why don't I get headphones? And this is how it is. All right. Let's breathe. To set the stage for everybody listening, my mom was in my apartment, aka the Love Alexi podcast studio, as my guest, Brooke Doolian, arrived. So I was seemingly in tears, but it's only because I was having a heart to heart with my mom. So I was emotional, but it's nothing bad. So let me just let that go. Brooke Doolian, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. This is so crazy. Are you scared to podcast?
I'm not scared. It's just we talk so much.
I know.
I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
You look so beautiful.
Thank you. So do you.
Did you get a blowout for this podcast?
I did get a blowout.
You did?
I did.
Oh, but it's auditory.
Like I have to.
This is an auditory experience.
But I get one not to like take away from you.
Yeah.
But I pretty much get one every day.
You do?
I do.
Oh my God. Where do you get blowouts? Maybe they'll give you a free one if we.
The dry bar.
You get them at the dry bar?
I go to the dry bar.
Wait, which dry bar? None of our business.
Wow, this is already off to like a
I know.
I'm profound all like, I start.
Know. I know. Well, it looks good.
Thanks.
Oh my God. Wait, is Bethany Frankel an investor?
No, she's not.
Oh, I thought she was. Okay.
No, that's the drinks.
Exclusive.
Skinny girl.
Skinny girl, Bethany Frankel. Oh my God. Oh, I've got a lot of other things to say. Now I'm all over the place. I'm highly caffeinated. Okay. So how long have we known each other for?
Oh my God, how long have we known each other for? 17 years?
But don't give away our age. So we met in the womb.
Yeah.
We met in the womb and here we are, looking amazing.
We do look the same.
We do look the same. Okay, wait, hold on.
But wiser.
Oh my God, like 17 years.
I think, yeah, I remember. Do you remember where we met?
We met at Bar Marmont, right?
Yeah.
With Nellie, our mutual friend Nellie.
Your then fiance.
My then fiance, Chris, was there?
Wasn't he?
I guess he was. I thought it was, maybe he was, but it was you, me, and Nellie. We were at Bar Marmont, even though Chateau Marmont is better. I don't know what we're doing at Bar Marmont. It was the place to be, I guess, in the early aughts, right?
Yeah, you guys were already there, and then Nellie called me and said, I think that you should come to the Bar Marmont because there's this girl that you'd be friends with. Like, I feel like you guys should know each other.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, that's weird. I don't need any more friends, but whatever.
Oh my God. Before no new friends, you're already like, no new friends.
Yeah. And then I get there and it was meant to be.
And then I don't know if we're allowed to talk about this. If you're okay with it, I can always cut it out. But didn't we bond over both having had thyroid cancer?
Yeah. That's why Nellie thought. I think also because we were both hyper.
We were both hyper brunettes. Oh no, I was blonde at the time.
I was too.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oh my God, but now we're both brunettes. Okay.
And we had thyroid cancer.
Oh, we both had thyroid cancer, but we were both over it, but I just had gotten over it or what?
I think you had recently just gotten over it.
Yeah, this is not how I expected the podcast to go at all. But
And I had already, I think it had been like 10 years since I was in remission.
Yeah.
So
you know.
Then we just started talking and became fast friends. And here we are.
Here we are. Classic story. Two girls in Tinseltown bonding over thyroid cancer. And 17 years later, they end up doing a podcast. Okay, so I want your whole life story. So even though, okay, so this is weird because you guys were podcasting, but we talk all the time about everything. So this is going to be weird because we're not going to talk about like the darkest, deepest things we probably always talk about, right?
And actually, we don't even do that anymore.
We
now
don't.
Now that we're both in relationships, we don't talk about the things we used to talk about.
What did we used to talk about?
We used to talk about...
Oh.
Dating.
Oh, yeah. Bad choices.
Sex. And...
things we shouldn't have done.
I don't know. It just was more like...
vapid.
Now we talk about recipes.
Well, yeah. We talk about recipes and making better decisions, being calmer, making better choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're evolved.
And now... I mean, let's not bury the lead. You have this new company. It's called Rookski.
It is.
It's a candle company. Or what do you call it? Is it fragrance, a candle? How do you refer to it?
It's a brand, but right now we're doing luxury high-end candles.
Luxury high-end candles, people. Okay, so I am completely obsessed. You've given me... one is named after me, right? One scent is named after me.
I noticed you don't ever have at the house. I brought you one.
She brought me one, you jerks out there. Be jealous, why don't you? I can't believe it.
And then the other one I brought you, I wanted to give you a scent that you normally wouldn't care for, like for your first pick, if you were buying it.
Oh my God, I got an Insta story this while we're recording the podcast. Okay, my guest today on the Love Lexi podcast is Brooke Doolian of Rookski. It's a brand of high-end highbrow candles. And this, she just brought me one for free. Two for free. I'm so lame. She just brought me one, guys, for free.
Actually, I was going to Venmo you.
Oh, really? I was going to Venmo you. Let's see. Willow.
But I'm curious. I want you to open this. Celine. Just smell it.
Named after me. Okay, I'll be right back, guys. I gotta smell this. All right. Okay.
Okay, so smell it first, if you will.
Okay, smelling willow.
She's smelling the candle.
I like this smell. Let's wait, hold on. I just went wine tasting for the first time. They tell you how to like open up a glass of wine.
You breathe it in.
You smell it and then you open it up and then you smell it again. It smells different because you can get all the, what are they called?
I would have brought coffee beans if I knew you were such a pro.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to surprise you with my new experience. Okay, wait. Is there mint? I don't know what I'm smelling here, but it smells good and highbrow. Okay, so I've smelled it. Wait.
Well, the reason I brought you this one is because typically you wouldn't choose this one first, but I want to see how you feel about it through the podcast.
I like it. Wait, I'm going to let it burn for a bit because it might smell different than how it just did before.
Exactly.
It was burning. Oh my God. So candle fragrances. I'm so into fragrance, like just like perfumes and stuff like that.
And you have your signature. You wear Byredo.
Byredo. I wear Bal de Freak by Byredo. I'm obsessed with your candles. I think my favorite so far is Cecil, right? Mm-hmm. And then I love, you know, it's not about them, but I do love Diptyque, Tuberose. But yours are on the level, if not better, than Tuberose Diptyque candles.
Thank you.
I'm not just saying that.
I have heard that.
It's true.
I know.
So I want to know every single detail. Because like I want to like put a magnifying glass on your brand, who you are, where you came from, how you got to here. Like, and we'll let that burn and we'll see what happens fragrance-wise as it fills the room.
Do you mind really quick if we talk about Eagle Woman?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. What are you talking about?
I was listening to your podcast yesterday.
Yeah.
My ADD. I'm like, I'll have to say this before I forget.
Oh, please.
How you said that you called her up afterwards.
Yeah, where I was like, you said my aura would be purple. It's not purple. I'm pulled outside of a Starbucks.
I was mad, too.
At Eagle Woman?
Yeah.
You went to Eagle Woman?
Yeah. I don't know if I sent you to her or if you sent her to me. I don't know what happened,
but I was listening
to your podcast and you talking about the shaman.
Yeah.
Who basically you didn't feel the experience was fulfilled.
I went there three times. I met her at M Cafe, so I must have told you about her, or you found her on your own because that would be something you would do.
She was at the yoga studio at Golden Cabinet.
Golden Bridge, right?
Okay, Golden
Bridge. Golden, yeah. Cabinet.
But there's another place that... No, there's a place that was in Santa Monica that was called Golden Cabinet.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember going to it. What happened with you?
I just remember thinking, what a fraud.
Really?
Not good energy. Like, not... I shouldn't say this.
No,
this
say it. Like, no, it's not. It's your feeling. It's your experience.
I just remember feeling, I can't believe this person is a shaman. They just have no heart to... They're just... Their whole... ambiance and the way her delivery of the energy work and all of that.
How many times did you go to her?
I think I went 3.
You did?
Oh my God. It's like, isn't it weird where you get the vibe where you're like, I think I'm being had, but I'm just going to go like 3 more times, yeah, $1,200
like,
later.
I don't know something. Yeah. I need to like go back because everyone else is experiencing this and feeling something great.
And I can't trust myself anyway. So I'm just going to like put myself in the hands of this person.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it was such a vulnerable experience because I remember how you had to wait outside. Here's the process. You had to wait outside her room. She had like some lackey come out and talk to you all weird, like glazed over eyes, like she's part of a cult, and be like, okay, well, write your letter of intention. And then when you're done, we'll come and get you or whatever. And I wrote like this 10-page letter of intention, everything, every type of behavior and feeling about myself and insecurity and way of life that I wanted to shed, everything I wanted to call in. It was like a letter to God. Oh my God, I was even doing that back then when I was like however old I was. And you go into the room. Eagle Woman is turned away from you. Her back's away from you.
It was so pretentious.
So pretentious, but maybe, and so spooky and scary that I was like, oh my God,
Well, that's intriguing. Spooky and yeah. Scary, that's intriguing.
Yeah, because you're like...
pretentious? No, that's not okay.
That's not okay. She's speaking in tongues. You go in there, you get positioned a certain way with your letter of intention. Eagle Woman, speaking in tongues, turns to you. You have to close your eyes. She stands in front of you, and then you have to do like a heart gesture of like 3 times in a certain direction, like to open your heart up to her or something. Give her the letter of intention. You get on a bed. I just have to tell my listeners this because you and I experienced it, but I'm just like, I've forgotten all the details and I think it's interesting. You get she lays you on a bed, puts a blanket on you, sprays you in the face with holy water, speaks in tongues. All of a sudden I'm like weeping about
You're
my father. I'm paying for this. Yeah. I'm like crying about my dad.
It was expensive too.
It was like $400.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like $1,200 later for the both of us, like how bad were our lives? If we could just afford to drop $1,200.
But maybe the fact that we're even talking about this right now, that it had some sort of service.
Profound effect, yeah. Oh, because that's when I was dating an ex-boyfriend who had an ex-girlfriend he was living with. He had a girlfriend when I first met him. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I'm trying to piece this together.
His name rhymes with Raramiah.
Yes.
So okay. So he had a girlfriend... I dated
Real
him.
Sly Alexi.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's hard being this cool. I dated him when I was a teenager for like a year. We had a long distance relationship when we were both very young. He came back into my life when I was in my early 30s to check in on me. We went out for dinner. We kind of fell in love immediately. And then he was like, oh, by the way, I have a girlfriend. We're in a bad place. We still live together, but like we are together. And so I remember I was working through, he finally broke up with her, but I remember working through that with Eagle Woman, and Eagle Woman was like, the man you're with, there's like a woman with ties to him, and she's putting a psychic spell on you, and you've got to imagine yourself protected in light.
Cut the cord.
Yes. Oh my God. This is so fun. This is everything I wanted our podcast to be right now. This is so great. And also I want to talk about the fact that guy in Empire, apparently.
I wanted to talk about that too.
I need to talk about that. He got fired.
I also need to talk about Jordan Woods and
making
Chloe.
Out with Tristan, huh? Chloe making out with Tristan, Chloe's baby daddy, and that's Kylie's.
She was like her little sister.
I can't believe this.
Those and are 2 things I did want to talk about. I mean, you guys, I have a candle company.
Yeah,
you can get it at American Rag. You can get it online.
We're online.
You can get it at Andy LeComp Salon.
Oh, you can.
You can get it at the Arc Shop.
What?
All these lovely, very, very beautiful places.
Very cool, highbrow places. They'll make you feel really good about yourself and being a part of a cool identity.
But,
wait.
Yeah, amazing candles. But what I came here to talk about is Jussie and Jordan.
It's Jussie what? Smollett or something? Jussie something or other from Empire, where he was involved in a hate crime. But then it turns out that...
He staged it.
What? And I've heard from multiple sources, read all these articles, because I was like, I don't want to believe this. If I believe
it's
that he
tragic.
Staged the thing, I was like, that makes me racist, because like hate crimes do definitely happen, and I'm not going to think... I thought it was like the man trying to be like, this man wasn't involved in a hate crime. He staged it. I thought, I'm not going to believe that. That's really negative. Fuck that. No way, man.
How could you do such a disservice to a state like where we're actually... There's things moving ahead, right? Can you not hear me?
No, I can't.
Okay.
I was trying to decode.
There's movements that are, they're actually making an impact.
Yeah.
Why would you do that.
Because it does such a disservice to all the people who are experiencing hate crimes and that horrible shit that really does happen. So yeah, I didn't want to believe it. And then now it's in the news that it's like, yes, in fact, he staged his own hate crime. And I heard...
He rehearsed it. There's so
he
many
did
dumb,
not.
Okay, there's so many dumb things.
No. Are
One,
we, are,
he rehearsed it. He rehearsed it.
We're two white girls talking about this. Isn't this not allowed? Shouldn't we even let... We should just believe that it was a hate crime anyway because... Hasn't he been through enough anyway? Let him stage his own hate crime.
No.
No? Is that wrong what I said?
No.
Okay, keep going. You're right. What he did was wrong.
It was absolutely wrong.
I was just still trying to be loving and understanding.
Also, did you know that he was in a play that was... He was mimicking a play that he was in...
Fuck off.
I swear to God, he was in a
where
play...
Where somebody staged a hate crime?
Where, yes.
He's like, this is a great
idea.
And
so how does he think that someone's going to see the director of the play isn't going to see this? I think it was a Tony Award-winning play.
Or maybe that's a good like alibi, like somebody saw him in the play and
I
then
don't think it ever... I think he just did a dress rehearsal, but like a table read. I don't know that he actually did it in front of an audience.
Yeah.
Performed it. But he had... it. Had taken this play and mimicked the entire incident, and that's when he did that.
Oh my God! I heard it's because he was so boring, or he was going to be written off the show, or something that he wanted to make himself. I'm using the word martyr, but isn't martyr when somebody dies for a cause? Or whatever. Sorry, I don't even know what martyr means properly, so I'm not going to try to throw it in there. I just did anyway. My mistake. I'm just a bonehead sometimes, but So, but I heard he's going to be written off the show.
Oh, for sure.
But before, and that's why he did that. No, I heard he was going to be, but now he's been fired.
How about be a better actor and get another job?
How embarrassing.
I mean, he was actually a good actor. I used to watch that show.
But how embarrassing also that this all happened because everybody on Instagram was like, all these amazing, powerful people were like, we stand with you in solidarity. This is fucked. Oh my God. Brother, I love you. All these things. It's like a movie. Like if we saw this in a movie, well, I guess it was in a play, you would barely believe it. But it's like this whole joke was played on like, and on the Twitterverse and the Instagram world.
It just gives me anxiety.
It's so sickening because it's like we all got caught up in the thing where it's like something bad happened that we thought was something that it didn't end up being. And then the whole aftermath is just so embarrassing where it's like, because nowadays you have to talk about what side you're on or comment on what's going on in the news on Instagram
think there's such a point in society right now where we're looking, but if there's something that we could come together on and agree that love needs to prevail and be more prominent than hate and fear and tragedy, then let's come together and do that.
Which is great.
So he was trying to make a platform to make a stance for this. Like he was saying like, this happened to me. He said, I'm a changed man. I'll never be the same again. Like he was so troubled by it. So all these people come forward with love in their hearts to try and, say, it's okay. We're here. We stand with you.
And then
he did that. That's not cool.
Yeah.
It makes me sick. So anyway, this candle I have called Cecil.
Mm-hmm.
This one's your favorite.
It is my favorite. But then we have to talk about the Kylie, Tristan. Well, let's talk a little about the candle and jump back into it. Okay. We'll just go candle pop culture. Oh my God. But how did you even decide to do Rookski? Because you had a company. So you were like you're a wardrobe designer.
I was a wardrobe stylist and a costume designer.
Tell us about you've done so many cool things. Aren't you responsible for the lightning bolt on Sex and the City that Carrie Bradshaw wears?
Actually, all of them wore White Trash Charms. White Trash Charms was my company.
When?
It still is my company, but White Trash Charms is a jewelry company, and
is White Trash Charms a slur after that episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills when somebody calls like Ramona or somebody calls another Real Housewife of New York white trash, and then the Instagram and Twitter went crazy because they're like, you can't say that, white trash.
No, because Instagram wasn't. Is it on?
Oh, it is on. I'm just saying, whenever I do this,
Instagram,
put it up to your mouth. I don't want to miss any of the gold.
Instagram and Twitter were not around when White Trash Charms started.
Yeah.
White Trash Charms started in 2000s. And how I got the name, every company that I've ever had, I've never meant to fall into that career. It's just happened. It's unfolded. And it's been beautiful. And White Trash Charms is the first time that happened for me. I was a wardrobe stylist, and I was on a David LaChapelle job.
Ooh.
The photographer, David LaChapelle, was shooting Ryan Phillippe, who I was like so in love with. I'm like, oh, my God, he's so hot.
Was he with Reese Witherspoon? No, no.
No, he was single. He was single then.
Yeah.
And I had made a lightning bolt necklace for my own photo shoot.
Wait, I'm getting a note of pear.
There is no pear in the candle that's currently burning.
God damn. I tried, okay? I was just saying, it wafted my way. Keep going.
Okay.
Apple?
But do you like it?
I love it. I'm just trying to like, if a note just came into one of my nostrils, so I was like, is it apple?
No apple.
Cinnamon? Palo Santo?
No.
Mint? Anyway, get back to your boring story. Okay. Just kidding.
All right. So, White Trash Charm. Okay, I'm on set. David LaChapelle.
Ryan Phillippe.
Is shooting Ryan Phillippe. And I had worn a necklace that I'd made for another photo shoot. Just a one-off, no big deal. Like, I wasn't planning on doing anything with this lightning bolt. But David LaChapelle walked by me, and he took it off my neck, and he put it on Ryan Phillippe and basically stripped him of his clothes until he was wearing a Speedo. So he's in nothing but a Speedo and my lightning bolt necklace.
Classic LaChapelle.
And it, yes, and it becomes the cover of the magazine.
Which magazine?
Flaunt magazine.
Oh my God.
And the Inside editorial as well. So the magazine called me up and said, what is your company's name? We're crediting your necklace. And I was on the phone with them. I had no company. There was nothing of the sort. And I just said, White Trash Charms, because I figured irony was actually not trendy at that point.
Oh, God, yeah.
In fashion, like yeah. People weren't wearing T-shirts that had slogans on them. So I thought it was funny to say White Trash Charms because they were $500 necklaces.
Yeah.
But white trash. So then I had a company.
Yeah.
And I made more charms.
Oh my God.
And then it got on the cover of Italian Vogue within 3 months.
Who was wearing it on Italian Vogue?
Just a model. A model was wearing it with all my jewelry, and Steven Meisel shot it.
Oh my God.
And it was called Street Style was the issue. And then I had a career, and then Sex and the City happened, and all the girls, Pat Fields, used my necklaces on all the girls.
That's the costume designer of Sex and the City, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about.
Iconic, amazing costume designer. And yeah, then I had a company and then I had a store.
And didn't Gwen Stefani wear your stuff?
Well, I used to style Gwen, and I would style No Doubt. And actually, full circle, I did a couple David LaChapelle jobs where I styled No Doubt. But Gwen had these knuckle rings that I made that became pretty well known for her fashion sense. They were rock steady. They were rock steady knuckle rings, and they mimicked her album font.
Oh my God!
Yeah. So
how? And then you had a boutique.
I had a boutique
in Los Feliz in California.
And you remember Acoustic Sundays? Oh. Those were the best.
So you would host these. You'd host Acoustic Sundays at your spot, at your boutique, and you'd have photo shows. Mm-hmm. And like Alex Prager.
Her first show ever was at my office.
And she is one of the most successful photographers currently in the world. Like, her photos go for like, I don't know, a gajillion dollars. So she was one of your first
art shows. I would have art shows.
She was one of your first art shows at your boutique. And then Acoustic Sundays, bands like War Paint played. You also hosted some like
Maroon 5 played.
Maroon 5, Father John Misty, didn't he play at one of your like a party?
Oh, that was my house party for White Trash Charms.
Still connected to White Trash Charms. Yeah. Still, but you always have your finger on the pulse and all these
She Wants Revenge, Ben Lee,
Ryan Adams, just kidding.
Z-Berg, Michael Runyon, Todd Weisenbaker. Simon Dawes was our house band.
Oh, really?
I totally forgot that they were in high school and they were our house band. What we would do is I would have these events where, like, it was only friends of friends could come, and it was invite only, and we would turn the lights down low and all the bands would play unplugged.
Yeah.
Even though we called it acoustic, they were actually technically playing.
They were plugged in, right?
They were plugged in.
Yeah. Oh, well.
And there were drum sets. And then I would make cookies and people would bring their own wine, and we would just sit on the floor, and it was the best.
Oh, so Dawes used to be called Simon Dawes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And then they dropped the Simon, and then it was just Dawes. And then Taylor Goldsmith went on to marry Mandy Moore. Moore, the ex-wife of infamous Ryan Adams.
Oh, God.
Didn't I tell you about my experience with him?
I mean, refresh my memory.
I guess this is when I talk about it.
Yeah,
this is
refresh my memory, please. I'll remember it, but I don't right now.
This is a very layered episode. I love it. We've got our friendship already. We're talking about friendship. Cool
thing about the candles.
Pop culture. We are currently burning a candle. We talked about the candle. We'll get to the candles. But we're going to get to the evolution of when the candles came to be and stuff. But wait, what's the website where you can get them too?
Rukske, RUKSKE.com.
And,
Ryan Adams. Let's talk about Ryan Adams.
Funny, there's like a ghost at my door. Do you like my plant, by the way? The studio?
I love your plant.
The in-studio plant, aka my apartment.
You should do a whole corner of plants.
I should. This is my first plant. My birthday plant. I just don't want to kill it.
Alexi has a beautiful new plant in the corner of her room.
It's a cheese plant. Thank you for being so supportive of my plant, Brooke. Okay, this is what happened. So years ago, somebody reaches out to me on Facebook, a friend of Ryan Adams, and I actually screen grabbed it recently. This was like in 2011 or 2012, like New Year's Eve 2011. So this guy emails me. He's like, oh, hey, you know, this is totally weird. Ryan Adams is a fan of yours, and he wanted to know if you wanted to like record some kind of like weird punk, pop punk album thing. You don't really have to sing, but you could just speak because he likes your podcast. 2011 or 2012, like
okay.
It was New Year's Eve 2011.
Okay.
So I write back and I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a fan of Ryan Adams. I really respect him because like so many of my ex-boyfriends loved Ryan Adams.
Whiskey Biscuit.
Yeah. They just,
right? Whiskey Town.
Whiskey Town. I can't remember what it's called, but there's like a song called Winding Wheel. I don't know. All these guys that I used to adore and date used to love Ryan Adams. So I ended up loving Ryan Adams because like that's how I learned who I was, I guess, or got taste or something or whatever. And I'd be like, well, if the guy I'm having sex with likes him and I want him to like me, I'm going to like what he likes. But anyway, so Ryan Adams gets under my skin. I'm aware of his music. So when I get this email saying Ryan Adams wants to meet me, I have a profound respect for him. This seems neat. I want to, I love singing.
He drinks a lot, right?
I think he was sober. He was sober, which is even weird because it's like a more of a control thing. I knew he was married to Mandy Moore. So I thought, okay, like I don't want to do anything sexual with him, but I'm flattered that the shaggy haired rock star wants anything to do with me. This is going to be neat. We're going to make some kind of cool thing. So I go to his studio and he tells me what the project is and his friends are there and there are other people there, but quickly those people leave and we start recording a song and we're talking and I'm very like insecure and terrified because Ryan Adams is like this huge presence. I'm spinning because he's like so charming and putting all this attention on me and being really flattering, but he's just like this overwhelming presence. So we record a song. Oh my God, we're podcasting. Anyway.
Exclusive.
That's the jargon we use around here, and Brooke knows because she listens to the podcast and she's one of my best friends. Anyway, long story longer. I mean, I do want to wrap this up, this Ryan Adams story, but we make a song together. He's like, we should start a band. We're going to be in a band. We got to come up with band names. Here's so it turns into this like musical project. I'm like, I'm a creative person. Like, and I've secretly wanted to be a musician my whole life.
Like, I could have a solo project.
Totally.
Seriously.
No, I was like, wow, I can't believe like I've been plucked from obscurity. Like, you know,
some people are discovered at banks. I'm discovered at Ryan Adams.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I was like, wow, I can't believe he really sees and knows my musical talent. Because like, honestly, like anyway, my mom's a musician. I've always dated musicians because I thought like, and I'd make music with my boyfriend.
If there's any producers out there, she's still available.
Listen, I'm up for grabs, you guys. I am available and I'm very youthful and I've got a lot of, hidden talents. Just you wait. Okay. So we're making music.
Oh my God, she just pulled out her lyric book.
Oh God, I didn't. She's fibbing. But so we're working together and he's like, do you have a boyfriend? Because like no boyfriends are allowed at the studio. And I'm like, and I did have a boyfriend. And I was like,
wait, he said that?
Yeah. And I was like, okay. And you know,
and no boyfriends are allowed at the studio.
And he'd also invited a girlfriend of ours who's in a band that I don't want to speak for her, but she
starts
just got. No.
Okay.
A girl whose name starts with an S and our friend whose name starts with a J who had just been married, he actually reached out to her and she brought her husband and he was complaining to me that this girl brought her husband because he thought that was like, you know, not conducive to a creative experience.
I'm so sick to my stomach by hearing this.
But I just put him on a pedestal because I thought, wow, this wizard master genius who like recognizes my talent, we're going to make some cool art together. And then it quickly turns into like, he never sends me the song. It starts being less and less about music. He just wants to talk all the time. He's being flirty. He's being inappropriate.
How long did this go on?
It went on for like maybe just months. But I stopped hanging out with him because the vibe was too weird. And I was like, listen, you're married. And I think I had broken up with my boyfriend because that was already on the rocks anyway. But I was like, listen, you're married. Are we making music or what is this about? This is so confusing and weird. I'm like, and I don't mess around with married men. And you're married to a really incredible woman. And he was like, oh, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to do that. I'm really into like making our project. This is about our band. Like, it was like so weird. He just did such a number on my head. It was like such a weird psychological, like manipulation, weird thing. And then, but then he would say things like, and by the way, if this story is boring, this
No, I'm just wondering. Like,
it's just so confusing. He would be like, he would text me like 100 times a day and like, be like, what are you doing? It's just like intense, like nonstop texting. And then he would be like, I know we can't be together. I'm married, but like, if I weren't married, would you love me? Would you be my girlfriend? And I was like, why are you asking me? This is so inappropriate. Like, what the fuck? Like, stop. Like, and stop texting me so much. This is crazy.
Also, how old was he at this point?
Like 40 something, I think.
Oh boy.
And I was just like, so I had to just like shut it down finally, where I'm like, okay, no music stuff is happening. This has all been a sham, all been a lie. You're being completely inappropriate. You're married to a really incredible woman. You're doing my head in because you're fucking with me. Because he like lavished me with like attention, compliments.
Where How I was did like, you end it?
Well, a big part of me was like, oh my God, he loves me. Is this like special for me? Does he have like real feelings for me? And like, this is just some kind of like French film we're living in. And like, he really does love me. And we're just stuck in this weird situation where like, you know, does he really want to leave his wife for me? Like, I'm not going to do that. But I was like, does he love me? Or is this all an ego narcissist, weird mind control, mind fuck thing? Anyway, he was texting me hundreds of times and I was ignoring him. And finally I called him up and hoping like he was in front of his wife. I called him up to just shake him out of his behavior. And I went,
how do I not remember this?
This was so many years ago. I don't know. But it did my head in. And I called him and I went, stop fucking calling me, lose my number. And he went, oh my God, you're being crazy. Like, he tried to gaslight me. I went, stop texting me. I can't take it. Cause it was like, beep, 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 beep. It was like,
are there similar stories in the news, yeah, in the news right now that came out?
Everything I went through, the mind manipulation, the psychological abuse, like the weird, like he would like threaten suicide to other girls. He may have threatened suicide to me, but it was just always like,
he got
intense
dropped,
infatuation.
I think,
oh, he did.
His label. Yeah, there was something about a 14-year-old girl.
Oh yeah, he was like, he was doing this with
14
a million
year old
14
girl.
Year old girl. I listened to a podcast that about the story that the people at the New York Times did, and like about all the, it was just, it's, so it's a pattern of behavior, and all the girls said the same thing. That's why when I read it, I went, oh my God, like I put the blame on me, being like, how was I so stupid? Like, how did I put up with this weird behavior for so long? Why did I get so weirdly manipulated? And like, I can't even explain the mind fuck that he, because he would like make it about the music. So I thought, and then he'd take it away, and then he'd be weird and inappropriate the way he talked to me. But then if I said, are you being weird and appropriate, like inappropriate, he'd be like, what are you talking about? No, it's about the music.
Have you run into him?
No, but
since?
Then no, I haven't. But when I heard he got divorced, I was like, thank God they're not together anymore, because he's a
she
fucking monster.
Yeah,
she's like a god. And now she's married to Taylor Goldsmith from Dawes.
Who is such a great guy.
Who is the most wonderful guy.
So talented.
But the thing is, when I read this story, it was more like, and I will throw it back to you after this chunk of Ryan Adams bullshit. I just thought, oh my God, it made it all come up for me again. The weird, and then it made me go, oh my God, so many other girls, the way they described it is exactly how I felt. It was just, he left you spinning. It was just like, just psychologically abusive and confusing and such a whirlwind and like, just mean and manipulative. Like, anyway, does any of this make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you needed to get it out.
Yeah, but I feel like it was so weird and psychological that it's hard to even explain what happened. Anyway. And I feel guilty. I feel guilty that I had anything to do with this creep.
I mean, you were probably really excited about the music. You wanted to hear the song.
I was flattered by somebody I respect.
Yeah. And you didn't, you weren't doing anything wrong.
I didn't make out with them. I didn't have sex with them. I should have said that earlier. Like, none of that happened.
But I think maybe deep down, listening to you now, hearing you talk about it now, deep down, you did know that there was something.
There was an agenda.
There was an agenda, and you just didn't want to look at it, maybe.
Yeah, and I felt like, oh, this is so annoying, because if I were a guy that he reached out to and went, hey, you're cool, like, you're a creative person, want to make a cool project together, that would be cool, and that would be what happens. But when you're a woman,
no girlfriends allowed.
No girlfriends. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, I'm a girl. So, like, why does there have to be
this,
like,
guy's
undercurrent?
A tool. Yeah. He's not a good guy.
And when I instinctually picked up on the fact that it's like, oh, he only has ulterior motives,
yeah,
and this isn't
it.
About the music. But when I picked up on that, I wanted to stifle, because I was like, no, come on. Like, I wanted to be about something. Like, gosh, I don't want to just be reduced to
you
a woman.
You wanted to be a cliche of, yeah, like, oh, this is the guy that's actually using the music to get the girl.
Yeah, because it made me feel worthless, and I wanted to feel, like, special, because I am special, and I do have talent, and I did want to do a cool thing. And also, at the end of all of it, it just made me go, oh, I never want to try to make music again, because I really have no talent. Nobody will ever believe in me, and it's not a real thing. And I shouldn't. Anyway, it made me not want to make music as a hobby anymore. And also made me not
never
believe.
Never say never.
Never say, well, that's, I'm just saying my experience with him. Oh. It just made me think like, oh, it was all a sham anyway, that maybe I could do that. Anyway, and then also it made me not believe in marriage. It made me not
Adams, that experience made you not believe in marriage?
It made me not believe in men's
of
fidelity.
How he was with it made Mandy
me,
Moore.
Yeah, it just made me feel like, oh, men can't be trusted because this guy
how
has such an amazing
about
wife.
Marriage now?
Oh, now I just want to get married because I'm madly in love with my boyfriend. But and he's a really good man.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy, but that did sour me on, like, believing and having faith in
men.
Can
you imagine if someone gets proposed to and the girl's like, you know what? Ryan Adams really ruined this for me.
I know! Oh, my God. He really put a damper on, you know.
I cannot accept this rose.
He just did my head in, and he soured it for both of us now. But, yeah, that would be unfortunate. But
oh, my God. Can we talk about Colt for 1 second?
Colton? Colton, yeah. From The Bachelor?
He's Colt to me.
Oh, he's Colt to you. And I hope the Ryan Adams thing made sense.
Yeah, it did. Of course it did.
I hope I landed that properly, because I haven't mentioned that in an intro, because I never feel like I explain it well enough. And it's just this rigmarole of, like, me rambling and... And I also take on all the responsibility and the blame, because I feel guilty still for having anything to do with him.
You didn't do anything, though.
But I'm a girl's girl, and I'm pro Mandy Moore, and I always, like, felt, like, bad and, like, disgusted and thinking, she's a goddess. Why would anybody seek to be with anybody else but her,
yeah,
when you're married to her? Anyway, but yes, Colton. Bachelor?
Or we can talk about the candles. Let's talk about the candles.
Let's talk about the candles, and we'll talk about Colton. So how did Rookski come to be?
Okay, so...
That was a lot.
What, the Ryan Adams thing?
Yeah.
But it's good. I actually meant to call you and ask you about it anyway.
Okay, good. Well, we're doing it live.
Here we are. Okay, so I had White Trash Charms since 2000, the year 2000, and about... Well, actually, let me... So the third... Like 2003, I made a candle for White Trash Charms, and it was our signature candle, and it was coveted. It was...
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yes, you made matches, too.
Yeah, I still have those matches. I have boxes and boxes of those matches.
So highbrow.
If anyone needs a White Trash Charms match set, mm-hmm, I got it.
I'll take them, yeah.
Okay, so I made this candle. I've always loved perfume. I've always loved scent. I've always... bought candles and perfumes and oils, and I mix things together. It's an innate thing that I've had. I've always been attracted to perfume. So I made a candle by combining perfumes that I used to wear. I like layered different oils on, and I had a company make a candle, but the candle, to make a candle with the type of, to have a candle made professionally, you have to do a minimum. And the minimum was like 2,500 candles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I made 2,500 candles, yeah, of this beautiful scent called Bianca, which is now actually in Rookski.
Oh, So your white trash charms candle?
I moved it over.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I was actually thinking that you should.
Yeah. What happened, again, I never meant to do candles for a living. That was not something that I thought I was going to have as a career. But what happened is when I had this candle, it was so beautiful and so moving. Like, I loved it. Everyone loved it. People talked about it.
Yeah.
Z Berg was always like, when are you going to do that candle again?
Yeah.
That's like the best candle I've ever smelled in my life. And I've heard people when they say this, that they miss that candle. So about 3.5 years ago, I decided I wanted to recreate that candle because I didn't have any more of them. And I could not stop thinking about that Bianca candle. So I went to...
It's a good name.
Thank you. So I went to a manufacturer that I was referred to, a different one, that did lower minimums. It didn't have to be 2,500. And I walk in there and I say, hi, I need to recreate this candle. I think I can still get the oil from the old company. Can you help me with that? And he looks at me and he's like, you're not going to do a candle. And I go, what? He said, you're not going to do a candle. You're going to do a line of candles.
Oh my God.
And I went, what? I am? And he's like, you're going to have a candle company. And I went, okay. So then I started, I got a perfumer, this lovely girl named Sinai.
Oh.
She does Father John Misty's. She does a bunch of signature candles for people.
I have Father John Misty's fragrance. It's on my mantle.
Sinai is a perfumer for that.
Oh, wow. So when you say perfumer, what does she do?
She blends and I tell her what I want, like the feel, the smell of the candle that I'm looking for, the scent. And she, you know, is like a chemist. She combines like all these different scents together and you see which one you like and some develop different and the other one, like a little you take away from this. It's a whole experience. And it takes about like 6 months.
It does?
Yeah, for a scent. I mean, sometimes longer. For me, it's longer. Like, I change my mind, I have to sit on it. But
how does it, you go in there for how many hours and how many visits over the period of 6 months? Let's say you're coming up with the smell, the oil for the smell, right?
Yeah.
It's an oil. First, you form the oil.
Well, we change. So I'm not your typical client.
You're specific, you know?
I'm specific. I know what I want. I'm also a designer and a stylist. So I have taken my sense of styling and moved it over to candles.
To fragrances,
so
yeah.
It's like I'm taking materials and putting them together and like weaving it with this and threading it with that. That's how I see my line of candles is kind of like, it's also why I have a candle vessel that's a black jar that has no label on it. Because I wanted it to be like the little black dress that can sit in any aesthetic.
Oh my God, I didn't know that's why you did that.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
I didn't want it to be screaming a label and a name and about that. I wanted the scent to carry on the entire mood.
And it's androgynous. I love it.
It's androgynous.
Like, it's so
and
great.
It's simple and it's chic and it could sit anywhere. But you were saying, I feel like I just went on a tangent.
So you go to, I said, how many visits and how many hours is every visit, let's say for 6 months, let's say it takes you 6 months to create the oil with Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a session? I'm just like breaking it down.
Well,
like
she would work
for dum-dums.
And then she would work on the scent and the perfume for that, like, let's say a week. And then I would come in and she would say, this is what I've created. And then I would say, okay, but I think it's more like, can we do this? And then she, you know, has all her oils out and I'll tell her, I like this, I like this, I like this. And then she's like, okay, let me go back to the drawing board. And then somehow it always evolves into a completely different scent than what I originally had gone there for.
Wait, then how many candles do you have in the Rookski line?
There's 9 right now. There's 2 that are being fabricated right now.
Oh my God, so 9. So that means 9 times hanging out with Sinai making an oil?
Well, I did some with Sinai and then some I did on my own.
Mm.
I would go to my candle manufacturer and he has oils and I do the kind of what Sinai does, but with his stuff.
And that was the guy who originally said, you're going to start a candle
line. Which is so funny. Like, it's such a small world. It's such an interesting... I love things like this that happen. I don't know if you know this, but do you know my friend Christiana?
Yeah, I've met her. She got married to the handsome man. We are all at the party.
Alex. So it's such an interesting, this whole story makes me so happy. I just believe in things happen for a reason. And remember, a friend had told me, go to this candle manufacturer. So drive out to the candle manufacturer and he tells me, you're going to have a candle company line, a brand. I'm like, okay. I'd say I've been working with him for about a year and a half. And him and his wife have an Instagram account. So they added me on Instagram. Don't think anything of it. I go into their office one day and I'm like, hey, how are you doing today? And he looks at me and he goes, so you know Christiana? And I went, I'm sorry, what? I'm like looking around. I'm like, I don't understand. How do you know that I'm friends with Christiana?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. And he goes, she's my cousin. So for the entire year and a half that I had worked with my manufacturer, my really good friend is cousins with the manufacturer, but she never thinks, oh, I wonder if Brooke is working with my manufacturer.
Oh my God.
My cousin.
How did you even discover him to begin with?
He saw that I'd gone to her wedding on Instagram.
No, but I mean, how did you even find him if it wasn't through your friend?
I found him through another friend who has a store and she has a candle company and a candle line through her company.
But everybody's just connected anyway. So it's just so like meant to be.
Yeah, but it's really
crazy
that
she's one of your best girlfriends.
We're all having dinner on Sunday night at their house.
That's like, insane.
My boyfriend, me, her husband, and my manufacturer and his wife.
Well, so he says, well, keep going. So
it's just so interesting to me that
it had to happen this way.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like family now.
It's so nice when things are like, I don't know, when they evolve naturally, when they're like, I don't know.
Oh, and also when I walked in there, the first time that I walked in there, I saw a candle box that said ALC, which is ALC Clothing, which is the brand that I used to design their jewelry for, their costume jewelry line.
Andrea Lieberman?
Andrea Lieberman. I actually used to assist her back in the day during Puff Daddy J-Lo days.
Really?
Yeah.
And are you responsible for the green dress that was
Andrea open? Is. I was the assistant. I was working on that job.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That's like what made her career. It's like not even her singing or her acting ability.
Yeah.
It's just that dress moment.
So when I walked in there, I knew when I saw that box that said ALC.
You're meant to be there.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I go, hey, how do you have ALC here? He's like, oh, we just did a collaboration for them. I went, I'm at the right place.
Yeah. It's a natural evolution. All these like-minded people. It's just like, it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
He says, you're starting this candle line. You're like, okay. I thought it was going to be Bianca.
Yeah.
But now we're doing the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So how long does this take? Where are you at now with it? And like, what are all the scents? I know I'm like throwing a lot at you, but I want to know all the details.
Okay. So it took about 3 years to develop. The scents alone were just like, it's just such.
Creating the smells took that long.
Yeah. Because then you have to, once you get them.
Once you find the smell you like.
You have to get it fabricated from a fragrance house.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
It means they take your oil that you're like, this is my perfume.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to replicate it.
In candle form?
No, in an oil.
Oh.
Then you have to buy 25 pounds of the oil. It's like a whole thing.
That's what I'm interested in. Okay, so wait. You get the little vial of oil.
So you have a little vial.
You're like, this is the smell. I have made the smell.
This is
a fucking
Rooksky.
Miracle. This is a miracle. This is Rooksky's smell. Okay.
Then
you take it to the
manufacturer, and the manufacturer sends it out to the fragrance house, and they have to duplicate it.
It's a perfume manufacturer. Is it manufacturer
it's perfume,
or manufacturer?
Manufacturer.
Okay. This is fragrance and candle making for dum-dums. I'm the dum-dum, so thank you for bearing with me. Keep going.
It's a whole thing because the fragrance takes about 2 months for them to replicate. And then when you get it back, there might be a note in there.
That's wrong.
Isn't like the heart of it. So you're like, oh, I need this to be more of the heart, or I need this to be the base, or this needs to be the top, because there's top notes, mid notes, and the base.
And this is the same as if a perfume and candles are the same. Like it's like you smell the candle and then it burns and it smells maybe a different way, like we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And same with when you have a perfume and you put it on your body,
the way your body reacts to it. Everyone's different.
And when you smell it in the container, and then when you put it on, what am I smelling?
This is Willow, the candle that's burning right now.
Oh, you have the oil. So you're so lucky you can wear your own candle fragrances because you have the oils.
Yeah, because I'm doing oils next.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to release the oils that go with the candles.
Oh, my God. Well, so you have to figure, so they replicate the thing. You've got to see how the oil is on, like the notes of it when it dries down, like how that smells compared to like when it's first put on.
Yeah, first I do it with the candles and I see how it burns.
Okay.
And sometimes the wax doesn't. Is this boring for people?
No, I love it. Well, I mean, just, you give me the highlights you think are most interesting. I'm fascinated because I want to start a line.
Sometimes the wax and the fragrance and the wick all combine together. They don't burn the way that you want them to burn. Sometimes I had this one scent that me and Sanai worked on, and it never came to fruition because it would not even burn.
Why?
Because the oil was so dark, and there's nothing you can do. Like sometimes there's just combinations that need to be altered, or it's not worth it to work on them so much.
Wow.
Yeah, like it's a whole thing.
This is so exciting. I like the process. Is like, it's so cool, the process of it, because it's
so
sexy.
And then there's the wick. Sometimes you do a thinner wick and it burns. It's all the way that the chemicals burn with all the components.
And are there different types of wicks to choose from?
There are different types of wicks.
Not just with, but what they're made out of? Are they always?
Yeah,
what
this one's cotton. I use cotton wicks.
You use cotton. My Brooke says cotton.
Oh, yeah. I don't.
You're so cute. I know, but it's like the sexy, like girlish thing. But it's like, I just had to call it out because if I didn't, people would be like, did she just say cotton?
Yes. I can't believe I just did that on a podcast.
It's sexy and cute. It's very girlish, but it's like, it's something I've always like, well, you say that about, you know, you just say D instead of T's. Mm-hmm. That's cute.
I do that with everything.
So sometimes they're not cotton. Sometimes they're, what else? What other kind of wicks? And it's just
I've
like,
only used the cotton.
Okay. You say it however you want to say it.
Let's talk about the packaging though, because that's my favorite.
Oh my God. So you got, we're talking oil to wax, wick choices, the candle container, and then the packaging.
Which
Jesus
took me
Christ.
2 years.
It did.
And two different designers.
And this is a whole separate place.
This
you got the perfume.
Whole separate place because I'm used to working on CAD as a designer, as a jewelry designer. I'm used to working on the computer.
What's CAD?
CAD is a computer software, which is like it makes things 3D and they actually can print out.
Of course, there's a leaf blower going by, but that's, again, adding texture to the show. It's a real street cool, anyway.
So I can design on CAD with a CAD designer next to me.
Yeah.
Where in my brain, I know exactly what line I want to be sketched out, etc. So I'm used to sitting with someone because I cannot for the life of me sketch.
Okay.
But in my head, I know exactly how it looks.
So you sit with, that's like
a... So I'm very untraditional.
That's like when a director, filmmaker sits in with the editor because they know how they want it
they
to be.
They know exactly how they want
and
it,
so
yeah.
And so the two people work together. So you're sitting, you know what you want. You know how to use CAD. You sit with the designer though.
So I'm used to sitting with a CAD designer who, like for years, like I have a couple CAD designers. I work so well with them. So with designing boxes and packaging, I can't sit with the designer.
Oh, why? Because they work solo. They're like,
they
get out of here.
Solo. They're like,
get the fuck out of here.
Out of here.
Oh God.
They cannot. Like it is. It's like I come over. I'm very.
You're like, good morning. Brought you coffee.
Yeah, and I'll be like, oh, this material. I like come in with like a luggage of like bags of things that I'm trying to explain how to convey how I see it, even though it has nothing. It's just a box with font on it.
I love this.
And I'll
though.
Bring like tons of font books and be like, these ones from Woodstock. And I would try and explain what I'm looking for. And finally, the best way that I could explain it was, I just want the White Album.
Oh my God.
I said, I just want the White Album. Just give me white packaging, clean font, and let's call it a day. Because like I'm like, that's how I see it. So that's how we came up with the packaging, is that it's my White Album.
Oh, and I'll Insta story all this later, or take photos. Or
it's very simple, minimal, and it's very unisex.
Oh my God. Well, what are the names of all the fragrances? And what are... wait, and are all the fonts now all identical?
Yeah, there was a point when
you
I
were
had
playing around
where I had, like I was saying, I was
different
looking
vibes
at Woodstock, and I was looking at Jimi Hendrix and all kinds of different.
And now it's just.
Now it's clean. Very simple, clean.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Uniform, same. Yeah. But just, and then what are all the names of all the scents?
Willow? Off the top of my head, it's Black Oud, Bianca, Cecil.
Willow.
Celine.
The best.
Hidden Track, which is my favorite.
Oh, really?
Not the scent. I mean, I love all the scents, but the name came from, I wasn't going to put that particular candle in my line. And I was burning it one day, the sample of it. And I walked by, I'm like, oh my God, this is the best candle ever.
Whoa.
I'm going to put this back in the line because I'd taken it out.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, this is for sure the Hidden Track.
Yeah.
Because back in the day with record albums, people would put songs on a record that you wouldn't know they were on there. They were called the Hidden Track.
Yeah.
So I called it the Hidden Track.
Oh my God.
So there's that. There's Hiroko. Mulholland and Willow.
And what are the, I mean, I guess it's just like, what would you say like the through line or like the inspiration for all the names of the candles?
They're all different. Cecil Beaton is a big hero of mine. As a stylist, I was very drawn to Cecil Beaton. He was a costume designer and a photographer. In fact, if you look up his name and you see all these portraits of Marilyn Monroe, like these iconic photos that you would have never known. He was also the same person that styled and designed My Fair Lady for Audrey Hepburn, all her wardrobe.
Oh, really?
He was an aesthetic asshole. He was like,
yeah,
very, oh, and he was also an author. He would write diaries, like, just, he was amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, Cecil Beaton.
Mulholland, just like
Mulholland
classic.
Because of the, just Los Angeles, Mulholland.
Highbrow history of yeah. like chic, crazy 70s Angelica Houston.
And it
Jack
smells
Nicholson.
Like it. You yeah. really could smell it in that candle.
Yeah. Celine.
Celine is after you.
Is
but
it
do
really?
You know why,
Celine Dion.
Do you
really?
Know why it's named after you though?
Why?
We were in New York.
By the way, my name is Alexi Celine Wasser. So they know.
We went on a trip to New York. Remember?
Oh my God, when I was obsessing over that guy. And,
yeah.
Oh God. Okay, yeah.
yeah. Okay, so we were in New York and we were at JFK.
Brooke flew me to New York because she knew I was so madly in love with some guy.
You gotta help your friends.
I know. And then I spoke DMT with them and I'm like, I think everything's falling to shit. I think it's not what I thought it was. And
I never told you to do that though.
I know you didn't tell me. Oh yeah. You definitely did not tell me to do that. You're a good friend. Okay.
Okay.
Keep going.
So we're leaving,
JFK.
New York.
Yeah.
We're at JFK and there was this hair perfume.
Oh.
And you turned to me and you said, if you ever do another candle, you should make one that smells like this.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I'm serious. And so what I did, because I never copy anybody's stuff, I wore that hair perfume for a couple months because I loved it. In fact, I wish I still had it.
Well, yeah, I want
and
to.
And I recreated my version of it. And I'm like, oh, I'll call it Celine.
Oh my God.
After Alexi Celine Wasser.
I had no idea because, and when you came over, since we've been talking today, I was actually thinking about that hair perfume being like, she should make a candle out of that hair perfume.
Are you serious?
And I didn't even realize that like that's what Celine is and why I love Celine because yeah, you discovered that hair perfume in New York. You got it. And then I got obsessed with it too. And then I would try to sneak it whenever you weren't looking. I'm like, oh my God, me too. I think I would do that when I would come to your house too, which is maybe why you don't have any left. But
it was very just very, it was very like
clean,
feminine, and
citrusy,
clean.
Yeah. Feminine. Oh my God.
Like that smell when you like walk by and someone has shampoo and
yeah.
That's Celine. That's how Celine smells, just our own version.
And what's the deal with Cecil? What does that smell comprise? Like, what is that made up of? Because that actually weirdly...
Oh, Cecil's such a bouquet of, like, goodness. There's so much beautiful... There's so many beautiful notes in Cecil.
Because I burn that all the time. My boyfriend has the candle. He's always like, you know, it's a great fragrance when, like, your masculine boyfriend who really isn't interested in candles at all is like, hey, are you going to... I'd really love for you to get me one of those candles that Brooke makes. Mine's run out and it smells really good. So we both have
his and hers
Cecil candles. So our apartments can smell the same. And we're both obsessed with the smell because it's like crisp and sparkling and refreshing and it wakes you up and it smells highbrow. And Anyway,
it's floral and citrus.
Floral and citrus. It is so cozy and beautiful and
clean burning.
Clean, yeah. And it's just sparkly. Like, it just makes you be like, oh, ooh. Like, I don't know. It's just great.
Thanks, Alexi.
I'm serious. Yeah, I'm like obsessed.
And then Hiroko is like, that's a whole nother, a whole nother thing.
What is it?
Petit Trois and Trois Mecs, the restaurant, they burn my Hiroko candle in their bathroom. And it's become this cult following.
Really?
Yeah, people. It's so crazy because there's no label on my candles.
But isn't it, doesn't the jar have...
It has Rookski embossed in it, in the jar.
Yeah, I love it.
But it's very subtle.
So subtle.
But people ask the waiters and the managers what the candle that was burning, what did they smell in the bathroom? When they get back to the table, they ask that. And so I've had, without even really launching my company, I have website sales for Hiroko that are like by the case, like six. Some are like big, big, big music producers. And it's really exciting who's buying Hiroko.
Albums, incredible albums that we have not yet heard are being written in the studio.
For sure.
With your candle burning and inspiring those albums.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
And it's a that scent, Hiroko, is a Japanese burning cedarwood incense with a little bit of orange.
Oh my God.
It's very masculine, but it's also, like, if you're a girl and you're like girly things, you're still gonna like Hiroko. It's just the most special candle.
I don't know. Have I smelled this candle?
No, I almost brought you that one too. I'll bring you one.
Oh no,
I'll
you don't have to like watch. Your whole company goes down in flames because you give me too many free candles, and you're like, I went out of business because of Alexi because she just kept insisting I give her free candle. I'm like, no, Brooke, I'm sorry. Which is the one that smells like a guy's like dirty, sexy t-shirt?
Mulholland.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then Hidden Track is it's kind of like the his and her to that. Hidden Track is Mulholland with a little bit of oud and vanilla. So there's some sweetness in there.
So, okay.
They're all my favorite too. I don't have.
Why wouldn't they be? God, it makes me want to I mean, I'm too lazy and I won't, but God, I want to make like a Love Alexi candle. I mean, I will not.
Why wouldn't you? Let's get Snai over here.
It sounds hard to make a one-off candle because it seems like more expensive than doing a line, time-consuming, and I'd rather just buy your candles or getting them for free. But I would buy them. They're totally worth it.
Rookski.com.
Rookski.com. I like that ASMR style. So what is next and what do you want people to... know about the company? Like, I don't want to miss a beat. Like, what are we not finding out about?
I mean, I feel like we just went through the candles.
Yeah.
They're at American Rag if you want to smell them. And
American Rag is a very hip, lovely, cool.
I didn't even
clothing store on La Brea in Los Angeles.
It's so crazy how I really haven't even launched the company, but things like the doors are just open, as Lacey Phillips would say, a ping or doors are opening or...
It's just like, it's happening naturally.
Yeah. My boyfriend was bringing a candle, Elliot, was bringing a candle to his manager.
Former guest on the Love Alexi podcast. And we do reference Brooke a ton in my conversation with him. So if you want to check that out after, ping on over there. Pop on over to the Elliot Lester podcast on the Love Alexi podcast. Anyway...
So Elliot was carrying a candle through American Rag because he was going to have lunch with his manager and he was giving him the candle.
Oh, he's going to the cafe.
He was going to the cafe.
Walking through American Rag, heading towards the American Rag Cafe Midi whatever it's called.
Exactly. And this lady, she walks by him and she says she notices this minimal, amazing packaging.
Oh my God, are you serious?
That Siobhan of Pattern Break did for me, which is so great.
She's the one you made the reference to being like, I just want the white album.
Yeah. And he did it. He delivered.
Wow. Siobhan is a man.
Siobhan. Yeah.
All right. I didn't realize. Okay.
So, Elliot's walking through American Rag. This woman walks by and says, what is that that you're holding? And he says, oh, it's this, high end candle that my girlfriend does. And it's called Rookski. And she said, well, can I see it? And he hands it over and she looks at him and she goes, I'm the president of American Rag. These are amazing. I would love to carry these. If you're ever interested, here's my card. And then we are now at the front counter at American Rag, and they do so well.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And what does Rookski stand for? How did you even get the name Rookski for your company?
Oh, let's see.
Is this a secret? You don't have to tell me.
I'm going
to
keep that close to me for a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. How dare you? Just kidding. Oh my God. We need a little mystery. You know, we've talked about, you know, so much stuff. So you should keep a little something close to your heart. What did we talk about, Tristan and Chloe?
Oh God.
And Colton, because I want to add a little pop culture in here, because I listen.
So Tristan,
yeah.
Married to Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah.
She's what? The little sister. She's Kylie's best friend, right?
Kylie Jenner's best friend is who?
Jordan Woods.
And by the way, you guys, Brooke and I have always bonded over the fact that we love like all the Real Housewives.
We're not gonna lie about it.
All the trash TV. Okay, we don't feel guilty about it.
No guilt.
You know, it's just a pure pleasure.
No shame.
Kardashians, Real Housewives. What else do we love? Okay, let's go back to the scandal.
So
Kendall, no, Kylie Jenner's
so
friend.
Kylie Jenner, her best friend. How do you feel about this, Lexi? This
how do
is
I feel about
crazy.
This? How did it even happen? They were caught making out or something, like all over each other in public. What he's like, so Tristan was just around his girlfriend.
I guess there was an after party and they took the phones away. Like you weren't allowed to be girls. Guys were allowed to have their phones. But for some reason, what I read is that girls had their phone. You were not allowed to use your phone.
Yeah.
And if you did, you just needed to leave.
Okay. After party for what? I didn't read the story. I just saw like the headline on Twitter.
There was some club or something, and then they went for an after party to his house.
In New York?
I think
in
here.
LA. Okay. So they're at an after party at his house.
This is not reporting live because I do not know what I'm really talking about.
I love just walking through it all murky styles.
I'm just saying the fact that Kylie's best friend, who is like a sister to Khloe Kardashian, would do that to her. Is just revolting.
I see. I thought Tristan and Khloe broke up a long time ago. And then when I saw the Kardashian sisters on Bravo inside the clubhouse, I got the feeling, I didn't realize that she stayed with him. I thought she'd already broken up with him, but then...
Oh, he flew out for Valentine's Day to be with them.
Okay, so they did stay together.
More importantly, here's the question. Here's the question I need to know.
Yes.
This is it. Does Kylie stay best friends with Jordan Woods or not?
No, but was Kylie there? And
No. I don't know. I don't know Kylie. I don't know.
I feel like Kanye probably wants to fuck Kendall. Don't you think? All these fucking hot young bods just all hanging around and just like pulsating all around like all
I
these
don't
older
think so.
Dudes.
Kanye is in love with Kim. And
do you think so?
Oh, for sure.
I think they should be in love too. And I'm totally pro that. But then I get worried. I'm like, everybody's just so attractive with all their...
How about
lips?
How does your boyfriend feel about you talking about the Kardashians?
Oh, I don't think he knows how much I'm talking about them today or talk. I mean, I don't talk about the Kardashians that much, but I don't know. He always puts on Bravo when he wants to make me happy. Like if he's like cooking or if we're at his house, he'll put, I know it's not something to do with the Kardashians, but he knows what I like and he wants me to be happy. So it's so funny how he'll just immediately put on Vanderpump Rules and just like look at me and just make sure I'm like situated and cozy and like taken care of. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you. It's like basically like giving me like three cocktails. I'm like, so
another thing is Vanderpump Rules. Did they break up?
Who?
Kristen
and Carter.
Yeah. Kristen and Carter.
I mean, I've recorded a lot of other podcasts that I've been banking and storing up before our podcast recording, but I'm going to have to put this out immediately before all those other podcasts because we're so like we're some weird like dark web e network thing right now where it's like it's just two girls spouting off about pop culture. Yeah, they broke up, but she's a nightmare. Kristen from Vanderpump is a fucking nightmare.
I can't stand her.
But Carter really like because he really like held what is it, the phrase?
He seems slimy, but I don't know him. Why
he
would
did?
Why would I say that actually? I don't know him.
I think they met on Raya. And
I met my boyfriend on Raya.
I met my boyfriend on Tinder. What does it all mean, guys? I don't know. Did my stomach just growl? Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Okay, forget I even said anything. But she just like, remember when she hung out with James Kennedy by the hot tub and then Carter found out about it, and he was like, and she had already cheated on him one time with James Kennedy. So Carter like put up with a lot of bullshit, and she's already like an exhausting, slender handful.
She is exhausting.
She's exhausting. So I feel like
she's so mad that James, she's so mad that yeah. James is on the show, or that James works for Pump.
Yeah.
Or Sir or whatever it is.
I just think that's her storyline.
Because she was not invited back.
Oh yeah.
That's why she's so upset at James.
Oh, wow. And I always just think it's like, she just wants a storyline.
No, it's because at the end of the day, James is so annoying, but he's definitely the type of person I probably would like give 10 chances to.
Yeah.
Because you almost feel bad. Like, you feel bad for him.
You think you want to give him a chance because he has potential.
Yeah.
And Lisa Vanderpump loves him because supposedly, you know, he's British as well, even though people think it's a fake accent, but I don't think it's a fake accent.
No, it's not a fake accent. Again, things I really don't know, but I mean, I'm assuming.
I don't think that Kendall or Kylie should continue being friends with Jordan. I just don't know what else is going on. Like, who knows what Kendall
and
Kylie...
That's so sad, though. I'd be so sad if my best friend did something like that, and then at the same time, I couldn't be best friends with them either.
Oh.
Like, that's like you lose two things. Like, you're so mean. How could you do that to my sister?
What? I wonder
how dare you? And B, I am actually going to miss you. Like, yeah. We had some great times together.
I wonder if they're going to cover it on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Won't they probably cover it? Won't this just be like a plot point?
But why would she do that? That's the meanest thing.
What?
Why would she do that to Khloé?
Why would Jordan do that to Khloé?
Yeah.
But they weren't really good friends. Just Kylie
she
and they were
like
all friends.
She was like a sister to her.
Khloé?
Yes.
I thought she was friends with Kylie.
She was best friends with Kylie, but she was like a sister to Khloé.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Not cool.
Not cool. It's all a mess. But it's like Tristan already cheated on Khloé, so it's like,
but
there
not
you go.
With your family.
I know, but he already cheated. She decided to stay with him. She should have left. Like, the minute you get cheated on, you got to get out of there. Didn't you think?
Yeah. Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Bye.
Like, I don't believe in the thing, like, if somebody's cheated in the past, they're always going to be a cheater. Because I cheated one time in my life. That was, like, 11 or 12 years ago. And I've never cheated again. I will never cheat again. I'm really putting myself out there, just talking about real something real that I did. So I don't like it when people are like, once a cheater, always a cheater. Because I'm like, no. Like, it's just not true. And not for me. It's not. And so, but if you were my boyfriend and I cheated on you and you took me back, you know, and then I cheat again, it's like.
No cheating policy.
Yeah, no cheating with it. You know, it's like the minute you get cheated on, get the fuck out of there. Have some self-respect. But yeah, but it's weird because they have a baby together. Anyway, I didn't think I'd be talking about the Kardashians this much during our episode, but ay, ay, ay. Why do you want to do oils now? Isn't it a headache?
I am now obsessed with coming up with my ultimate perfume. Do you find that you wear, like, the perfume that you wear now?
Belle de Freak, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Belle de Freak.
That's your signature?
Yeah.
But do you think, how long have you been wearing that?
Oh my God, like 2.5, 3 years.
Okay, so that's not that long.
Yeah.
I'm going on like 10 years of wearing my oils.
Oh, really?
And also like 6 of wearing a perfume that I like. And I need to create. I just went out and bought so many new perfumes. I've spent so much money on buying new perfumes that I thought was going to be my signature.
Yeah.
I even bought Kim's.
That body shape thing?
I bought her baddie.
I don't know what that is.
It's called Baddie. There's Wifey. There's Baddie. There's
really?
B-A-D-D-I-E. There's something else.
Is Baddie cool lingo for a husband? A
like a bad girl. I don't know.
Oh, Baddie. I don't know what's going on.
But I mean, I've like spent so much money on all these different perfumes going, okay, I'm going to find my new signature.
Yeah.
And it's not there.
So you're creating your own signature.
So now I'm going to call up Sanai.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, Sanai, we are going to make the ultimate... my ultimate signature.
And that'll be the Rookski smell.
Yes.
And then, but then can't you, aren't you already ahead of the game? Because now you have all the oils for the candles already. You can just turn those oils into body oils.
Yeah. The next thing is going to be taking the candles and their scent is now going to be an oil.
Yeah.
But that's a whole thing that I haven't done yet.
Oh my God.
I've sampled it, but I haven't packaged it and done all of that. So I have to create packaging for the oils. All the candles will have a companions, which are their scent. And then I'm going to create new scents. And the first one being a perfume that I am going to make as my signature.
And that will be your signature for life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance doing all of this? All the work where it's like these candles, these fragrances, they're like your babies, mm-hmm. right? Like you're giving birth to all these things. And yet we're women, and I don't want to make it gender specific, but it's like we have intense feelings. You and I are friends for a reason because we think deeply and intensely about a million different things and we can spiral. I'm speaking for myself, but maybe you too. We have the ability to like spiral over every nuance because we just can. That's how our brains work. It's exhausting at times. How are you so creatively prolific and diligent and have all this follow through to make these beautiful things that you make and have this incredible company while you're in a relationship or just feeling deeply about stuff and trying to, how do you balance like love and relationships and personal stuff and work? Because I don't know how to do it sometimes.
Honestly, I think that the relationship inspires me to work harder.
Really?
Yeah.
I want
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Like I'm like 100%. I get inspired to work harder for my company when I'm in love. And my boyfriend is such a advocate of me doing my career that it makes me want to do it to the highest ability and be like, look, like I love it. I think for me personally, they work hand in hand. Like they help each other.
Yeah.
It's so inspiring.
Oh, that's good. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Do you not do anything on the weekends? Just relax? Are you working through the weekends? Or because there are no rules because it's like it's your company.
That, which is a great thing. And also having it be your own company where there's no one that you're answering to can also be not a blessing.
Yeah. So how do you frame it or how do you find boundaries to like?
I definitely don't work on the weekends, but in saying that, I'm always creative, so I like something can inspire me over the weekend, but I'm not doing anything physically for the company over the weekend, like emails or any business.
And you cook so much. People don't know this about you. I mean, like, well, why would they? Just meeting you for the first time, people have met you via this podcast. You guys, Brooke is an amazing cook. You're like this incredible homemaker, your whole house.
Been to our Shabbats.
I've been to your Shabbats. You have a weekly Shabbat and you've like you bake your own bread, you roast things. You're just incredible. And then your whole house, her space, you know, in which she lives, so beautiful. I've hosted girls' night in.
Mm-hmm. A couple times.
Oh my God, I've hosted. Brooke is such a great friend. She let me host my girls' night in gatherings at her house so many times. And you're so cool. I was like, oh my God, you know, strangers in your house. I hope they're not murderers. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever.
I'm going to go out, have a good time. And I'm like, really? Like, you're so calm and like go with the flow and you just don't get like stressed, it seems like. Right? Am I wrong?
I mean, not about things like that.
Yeah. It's incredible. I don't know.
You're baking now.
I'm baking. I'm cooking. I guess I'm cooking. Yeah. I'm making steaks.
Isn't it fun though? Wait, you said something actually on your podcast the other day that I appreciated.
What?
You said there was something, I think this is the right word.
Yeah.
I think you said there was something powerful about cooking.
Yeah. It's
and
like
I appreciated that instead of like the old way of thinking, which is, oh, you're cooking for your guy.
Yeah.
No, I think it's such a wonderful, empowering, beautiful thing to cook.
Yeah.
And also to cook for someone that you love or care about.
Yeah. It's like there's passion involved. It's like a great skill. And I remember I was like, yeah, cooking. I like to eat. You know what I mean? Because it's like,
It
feels good to make a thing. It's like, oh my God.
It feels
like
good to make someone happy.
To make someone happy and to like share. It's like a ritualistic thing. I made this thing. I went through the process of making it. It's like, I did it. Like, oh my God, I made it. And does it taste good? It tastes good too. And yeah, you're sharing with somebody. It's like, it is a whole beautiful thing that I'm like finally coming into because I did used to bake when I was much younger. But now like, and this is the first boyfriend I've ever cooked for in my life because I never thought.
I love seeing this side of you.
You do?
I do. I really do.
Me too, actually. Yeah, I want to get better and better. Like, And I like kind of...
I mean, you have a plant in the corner.
I've got a plant in the
cooking.
Corner. I'm cooking. And I just like the whole idea of like making a menu. Like when I first roasted a chicken for my boyfriend, I was like, I made a menu. I was like, make mashed potatoes, apple pie for dessert. You know, I had like a baguette and I roasted a chicken and I like got tipsy drinking like Moscow mules while I was cooking in the kitchen. It literally took me from like, you know, 2 p.m. till whenever he came over, and I timed it out perfect. Like dinner will be ready as he gets in. I made a salad. I copied your recipe.
Which one was that?
Arugula, but I put tomatoes. Arugula with like lemon dressing, and then I put like balsamic vinegar and then like a little bit of Parmesan cheese on top.
Yeah.
I think that's what I saw you do, but then I added like tomatoes. I don't know if you did that too.
No, it's good to add your own stuff.
Add my own stuff. And I just felt like, wow, look at me go. Like, yeah. I don't know.
I yeah. know. I love cooking.
Yeah. I could just, I just want to go to Whole Foods and just like buy everything and have tons of money just to like try making everything, you know?
It's What's fun. Your favorite dish to make?
I mean, I think right now it's like steak. I like making steak and rice and orzo. And then what else? I don't know. And salad. That's what I've made like maybe a couple times for him. And I'm like, but like mastering making like the perfect steak because I just love steak. Makes me feel proud. But I got to start mixing it up and making new things. But yeah.
Let me ask you a question really quick.
Yeah.
What is your favorite scent? Not a company or a brand or a candle, but an actual, like if it's a flower or something from the kitchen or baking, like.
Well, I love Palo Santo.
Exactly. Palo Santo.
I love, which is like mint and wood, like a minty wooden smell. Cause I don't like sage. I prefer burning Palo Santo. So I love that smell. And I love tuberose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I love rose, like the smell of rose, but I don't love it as much as I think I do. But sometimes if you get a great rose, it smells, it's like pungent and lovely, but really tuberose, Palo Santo. I think that's all I can think of right now. I don't know. Vanillas. I do like vanillas. I think that's it. I don't know.
That's all I was just wondering. A lot of those are in Cecil.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I'm like really patting myself on the back. I'm like, I'm incredible.
You're really good at scent. You're a natural.
Well, my ex-boyfriend got me into that. I think, you know, the guy whose name rhymes with Raramaya. Oh, God. And I used his real name in my short film. And then maybe I shouldn't have done that. The short film I made a few years ago. But anyway, yeah, he loved fragrances. And I remember thinking, wow, this is so interesting. And that's like a personality trait I kind of like picked up from him that like I made my own because I was like, wow, I'm into it too. That was a nice thing. He loved crystals, Palo Santo, not to go down memory lane, but like crystals, Palo Santo, and perfumes. And I just thought, wow, I like this too. What a cool thing to be introduced to. And yeah, anyway.
Nice.
What is next for you? Where are you going after this? Where do you want us to find you on Instagram and all the social media and websites and all that?
You can find me at Rukske, Rukske.
_LA.
And Rukske.com.
And because we touched on it, but we didn't explore it, what were you going to say about Colton from The Bachelor? Because I didn't
He's
watch...
really cute, isn't he?
He is so cute. He's such
like
a babe.
He's a really handsome, like all-American guy.
That's what every girl I talk to says. They're like, I'm like really attracted to Colton.
Who do you think's
like,
going to win?
Oh, well, I didn't watch this week's episode yet. You know, and thank you for letting me steal your Hulu, by the way. It's thank you. We both go to jail after the release of this podcast because I steal your Hulu and Amazon Prime. Anyway, okay, you're a great friend. Anyway, so... I hope, and don't tell me, if you watched the most recent episode,
yeah.
Don't tell me. Okay. I only just started it. By the way, his like testimonials or his like personal videos that he makes on his phone are so...
What are you talking about?
You know, at the beginning of every episode where he's like, hey, it's me. It's been a weird week. You know, when he's talking to the camera, he does little testimonials.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or
I thought you meant in his phone on...
Or just on the
like
show.
You were following him on some social media.
He had my secret, yeah. Like,
I was like,
DM.
I don't take it that far. Alexi.
No. I just mean like at the beginning of every episode where he's like talking to himself and kind of like assessing what's up for the week. And he's like, oh, last week was kind of hard and this is what's going on now. What was my point here? Oh, I just think he seems authentic, you know, for lack of a better word.
Do you think he's really a virgin?
I do. I think he is a virgin. And I think he touched on the fact that he didn't have sex because he dated a girl who maybe did go through some kind of sexual abuse or something. Maybe this girl he dated. There's an episode where a girl told him about how she was raped at a party. And
oh, I saw that one.
And he alluded to the fact that like he dated someone who went through that. And so maybe that's why their relationship slowed down.
I did not catch on to that.
That. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that, and so he had like empathy for what the girl on The Bachelor was telling him because he loved a woman who went through something similar. Maybe I'm totally wrong. I mean, that's why they didn't have sex, because they were taking it so slow, and then it just turned into this thing where he's still yet to have sex, but he looks like a great kisser.
He's
just so fucking sexy. He seems very kind and nice and just like, and not stupid, just like not a dullard, but like cozy and nice and kind and hot, but smart and with it. And not having seen this most recent episode, I think the speech pathologist should
win.
Cassie, because she's an angel face. She's got a heart-shaped face. Who do you think is going to win? Don't tell me she gets eliminated.
I think either she's going to win or the beauty pageant winner.
Oh, the one who looks like Chrissy Teigen?
Yes,
she's so beautiful. I know, whenever I look at her, I'm like, I want to melt. I'm like, God, she's so...
Yeah, the Chrissy Teigen one.
Gorgeous.
I think she might win.
It's like her or... Yeah.
And I think Cassie will be the next Bachelorette.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think the producers are going to steer him to do that.
Oh, my God. That's what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like that show Unreal.
Yeah. Unreal is from producer of... you're the one who told me to watch that show.
That's right.
On your, is that on Hulu? Is that on Amazon Prime?
I'm like, no, I told you to listen to NPR News.
Oh, yeah. NPR News. Stop lying. You know the truth. Anyway, yeah, Unreal. A producer who worked on The Bachelor made her own scripted show, created a scripted show based on like what really happens behind the scenes of all these Bachelor shows.
Last season was terrible.
Of Unreal?
Yeah, it was so bad.
Oh, my God. Watch the demise of our podcast episode. We just can't stop talking about pop culture. And I love it. It's popular culture it's popular and cool.
Your new off podcast, your new side project.
I like it. This is all I would want to talk about. We'd be talking about this in your car driving to wherever we're going to.
I know.
You know, getting a facial somewhere.
Do you think anyone's lasted through this podcast?
They've all hung themselves. It's over. They're all like, ugh, boring. When I listen to the Love Lexi podcast, I want hard hitting news. I don't want to hear about feelings or pop culture or Vanderpump. This is not what I come here for. You're right. They're fine. They're fucking fine. And if you're not, please send emails to dearlovealexi@gmail.com and follow me and Brooke at rookski_LA and at Alexi Wasser. Send us DMs to let us know how you felt about this podcast episode. And if you have any thoughts of your own on pop culture, candles, fragrances, feelings. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, God.
Stay lit.
Stay lit.